listening to a podcast presentation of Hillside Four Square Church in Reno, Nevada.
I want to tell you that when we do Pancake Sunday, I usually, when we're starting a series, we usually do it the first Sunday in January, I like to take about 10 to 15 minutes to set up where we're going and what we're doing and kind of the basis for the next series that we are, and then we get down to the serious business of pancakes. It's more than just the food to me. One of our key values at Hillside is connected relationships, and we try to build time in our services for those connections to take place. That's why we have a kind of an intermission in the middle. It's not just so that we can grab a pastry and coffee, although those are helpful, especially for introverts for whom social interaction can be challenging. And so the social lubricant of coffee and a pastry is very helpful, because if you don't know what to say, you can just put something in your face like that. I really enjoy the opportunity, and one of the reasons we do Family Feast is it gives us an opportunity to interact with people and more than just a hi-bi type of a thing. I think when it comes down to it, if we look across our sanctuary, we're a pretty eclectic group of people. We're not gathered here because we're all fans of the San Francisco Giants or 49ers, right? Right. Okay, thank you. We're here gathered because of Jesus. And that's one of the things that makes fellowship what it is. Fellowship is not just hanging out with your friends. It's hanging out with people who you probably wouldn't have any other thing in common with except for Jesus Christ, for the express purpose of growing in our relationship with him, but also growing in our relationship with each other. Because we have the opportunity, when we connect with each other, to bring glory to God. And something better happens when we're living this life for Jesus with other people. And so I just would encourage you to take the time to connect today over pancakes, and also to be open. I believe God uses these kind of times to introduce us to new people, but also to establish new friendships for us. And so we're going to be in a series called Anchored in Jesus. And this came about, it's probably, Chris, when was that? Would have been probably October. And I was reading, as I'm prone to do, and I came across something that a friend of mine had written. And it was, it kind of hit middle age, which is, I guess, where I am, God bless me. And as he's, you know, talking about the things that he had believed to be true about his life, and finding out over these last few years that those things that he thought were core things about who he was had been kind of peeled away. And says it's really funny to be in your mid-40s looking at yourself in the mirror thinking that you had things figured out, and then realizing that you really still don't know a whole lot of who you are. And a lot of the things that he'd used as benchmarks in his life had either gone or dissipated or just weren't there anymore. And came back down to, he says, the one thing I know is that I can be anchored in Jesus. And I'm thinking, that is a great concept. And then the pastor part of me says, and that a great title for a series too. An anchor is a metaphor. The actual book definition is, Merriam-Webster's definition says, an anchor is a device normally made of metal used to connect a vessel to the bed of a body of water to prevent the craft from drifting due to wind or current. And so one of the very first images or symbols that the early Christ followers used to describe Christ as their source of life, as their rock, as their foundation, was as the anchor. And that was actually one of, before the fish, the anchor was a symbol that was used to identify yourself as a Christian. And this is one of those things, as we look at Hebrews chapter 6, verses 13 through 19, we're going to just basically touch on when everything else is going to hell in a handbasket, when our world is falling apart, when our own personal life is in shambles, or even when things may be going well, we have something that we can put our trust and our hope in that is bigger than us. And this isn't just a rah-rah Jesus speech. This is something that is very foundational. It's very important. It's at the very heart of who we are. The problem is the longer we live a life as a Christian, we can become used to doing things a certain way, and we can become competent in our Christianity. You know what that means? To be competent in your Christianity means you can go through doing the same things you've done for years and miss the connection that is maintained between us and Jesus Christ. There's a problem with that, because we start to drift and we don't even know that we're drifting. Now, being as I'm not really a fan of the sea, I'm not against it. I just don't like it. I don't want to be on it. It's one of those things where it's because there's large creatures inside that I may have watched Jaws as a little kid and it ruined me. But I can just tell you, when this summer on our sabbatical, one of my wife's great dreams was to go kayaking on the ocean. I'm thinking, perfect. Have a good time. And I'm thinking I'm going to send her out by herself. And I'm thinking, what kind of husband would send his wife out by herself on a kayak? And I'm thinking, this kind, you know. It was sad. And so she had on a bikini. So that was one of those things. It's like, I'll go anywhere you're going. That's true. She's my wife. And so he said, let's go kayak. And so we go out, and the guy launches me out first, and then she launches Joni out, and we've got our life jackets on, and I've got the paddle, and I'm thinking, I probably look just like some sort of sardine or some kind of big yellow sandwich for whatever sharks are under here. And they made the mistake of telling us, yeah, we saw a bunch of big humpback whales that were in this area. I'm thinking, yeah, who doesn't want to be in a kayak on the ocean with a bunch of humpback whales? It says, and sometimes we get to see sharks too. It's like, awesome. And so we're paddling out, and paddling against the ocean's waves and against the current was very hard work. And so I did what a smart person would do, which is I just let the current take me. I'm thinking, I'll just coast for a little while. And as I was coasting, I wasn't paying attention to the shoreline. I was watching my wife, kind of looking out for any large creatures in the water. And the next thing I know, I've drifted about a mile. Yes. Big, huh? One of those type of things. And I'm thinking, how am I going to get it back? And the only way I'm going to get back is by paddling like my life depends on it, because it does. And I got to thinking as I was studying for this particular series, is I had no idea I had drifted as far as I did. And I am not pointing a finger at anybody or other than at myself and for us. I don't want to be a person or a pastor or in any way, shape, or form just coast on what I have done before and what we've done before. I don't want to just be coasting in life to the point where I've drifted so far. I don't know how I got this far away. And the thing that keeps coming back is I need to be a person who has 100%, number one, being on land. I like it. Number two, to be firmly anchored in Jesus Christ. And that's where my hope's going to come from. And this last year, I know many people in our church family have experienced great tragedies, have gone through things personally, have gone through things with their families. And sometimes people ask me, well, what are you supposed to say to somebody in a time like that? And one of the things that I say is, no, you shouldn't say anything if you don't know what you're going to say. At a time when you don't know what to say, limit your words. That's from Jerry Cook. It's a freebie. He said, but number two, to be able to know our faith in Jesus Christ is made not just for the good times, but especially when we're going through life storms, when we're going through the times of loss, we're going through the times of death, we're going through the times of tragedy, going through the times where something terrible has happened. That's the exact moment we get to see that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is the one in whom we can put our trust. And that even though our life is being shaken, He is not. And in a world where everything else is changing, He is unchanging. Now, let's look at Hebrews chapter 6, verse 13 through 19. It was written to a guy named Abraham. When God made a promise to Abraham, since he had no one greater by whom to swear, he swore by himself, saying, surely I will bless you and multiply you. And thus Abraham, having patiently waited, obtained the promise. For people swear by something greater than themselves, and in all their disputes, an oath is final for confirmation. So when God desired to show more convincingly to the heirs of the promise the unchangeable character of his purpose, he guaranteed it with an oath, so that by two unchangeable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul. A little bit of background. When God makes a promise, he will always fulfill it. It does not always happen in the exact same season that it's given. God made a promise to Abraham. Abraham was about 70 years old. And he says, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to multiply you. And I'm going to cause you to be a blessing to every other person. Through you, I'm going to bless every other person in the world. And Abraham thinks this is going to happen in a very quick manner. It takes over 30 years for this promise to be fulfilled. But as a sign of showing that he was going to fulfill what he said, God swore by himself. And in swearing by himself, what he's saying is, I will fulfill the promises that I have made to you. Now, anybody who follows after Jesus Christ, this promise applies to us as well. The unchanging God of the universe has assured us of his intent towards us for now and for always. He desires to bless us. He desires to bless others through us. And he desires to multiply us. This does not necessarily mean you're going to have a kid. Okay? Maybe it does. But what this means is that we are going to be people who can teach other people how to follow after Jesus. Now, you may not feel qualified to do so. Like sometimes you may think, if I'm going to be making disciples, I better know what I'm talking about. I would say, yeah, to a point. But at the same time, any person who has started a relationship with Jesus has already learned something they can teach someone else. And if you wait till you have your life together, it's never going to happen. I'm a textbook example of this. We can make disciples of Jesus as we say, follow me as I follow Christ. I believe that's what the multiplication looks like. One of the things that God wants to do inside of us is to give us the assurance that when we step forward in being obedient to him, we're going to have things that we're able to pass on to other people. People that you know may want nothing to do with ever hearing anything from me. I'm okay with that. There's people that you know who you're going to be able to share who Jesus is and what he's doing in your life in the midst of the imperfection, in the midst of just life storms, in the midst of everything, to be able to share, this is who I believe in and this is why. We have a hope that goes beyond just, not even beyond reason, but goes beyond understanding. And this hope is found in this anchor, and that is in Jesus Christ. And so over these next several weeks, we're going to be talking about different ways we are anchored into Jesus. You know, like Chris had mentioned, a lot of it has to do with learning to understand the scriptures. No one can understand the Bible in their own strength. When I was in college, I signed up for a class called The Bible is Literature. And I made it about 2 weeks. And the reason was because the class was taught by a very arrogant person. I don't know if it's required. If you're a professor, you have to be arrogant. But this guy was a champion. And as he's getting ready to teach the class, he says, I want no one in this class to even mention that this is any way, shape, or form a spiritual book. We're going to analyze the Psalms and the Proverbs as literary examples. We're going to do this, this, and this. And at some point, it was hard for me, you know, having been raised that the Bible is God's word and something very significant, and that through it we live and understand what God wants for us. You know, by the end of the second week, I just had to tap out. It's like, I can't listen to him talk about, you know, Ecclesiastes as this great mournful poem without realizing that the very purpose that brings Ecclesiastes to the forefront is the fact that we can have a relationship with God and we can know him in a certain way. And so for us to focus on Scripture, it's not just taking a couple of minutes and saying, okay, I did my three chapters. Okay, I'm done, moving on. There's something about Scripture that it says is living and active, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces even to dividing the thoughts and intents of our heart, even down to the very basis of who we are. And my hope is that in this next year, we grow as people who are learning to understand the Scripture, but also learning to respond to what the Holy Spirit is developing that in us. It said no one can understand the Scriptures on their own. It can only happen by the power of the Holy Spirit. And in a lot of ways, it's going to happen when someone teaches us how are we supposed to read this. Because if you open up the Bible, not knowing, kind of having a game plan, you can just kind of flip around. Where do you start? Well, you start at the beginning in Genesis, right? Do you? Sure. If you are new at this, by the time you get to kind of the middle of Exodus, you're going, this is getting weird. And by Leviticus, it's like, this is scary. You know, it's all about blood, and it's all about wickedness, and it's all this stuff. And to be able to have someone who will coach us, and to be able to maybe even have a plan, like here's where I want to read through, is vital for our development. And if you have ever had a desire to grow in your relationship with God, being able to say, I want to do so without connecting to the Scriptures, it's just not going to happen. And so one of the things that we do here is we use a Bible reading plan. On the back of it, it kind of explains how to do it. This allows you to read a little bit from the First Testament or the Old Testament, and then read a little bit from the New Testament. And at the end of 1 year, if you read through the plan, you will have gone through the entire Bible. It seems like a real daunting task. It's completely doable, but especially with the Holy Spirit leading us into what he wants us to know and what he wants to develop in us. And Chris had mentioned the journey classes, February 7th, starting about 9:15 up in the loft, we're going to be going through the journey books. These are a great medium utilizing the Bible, utilizing Scripture to help us to understand not just facts that we would know in our head, but to be able to learn how to connect with God in our heart. And what does it take to follow after Him? And really, it's the set of four books is $5. And if you don't have $5, I will give these to you. But we're going to be meeting up there for the express purpose of saying we want to grow in our relationship with God. Because we don't always know when life's going to throw us a curveball. We don't always know when the stuff is going to hit the fan. But I can tell you, if we prepare ourselves and immerse ourselves in God's Word, and we are people who not just think about it in our head, but live it with our lives and how we interact with other people, it's going to develop this very strong network that keeps us on a very strong foundation that's going to keep us from being shaken when this stuff hits. Hebrews 13:8, right over here, in every Four Square church all over the world, says this: Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. No matter what styles change, no matter what information comes and goes, no matter what, Jesus will never change. In our world, we can think if something does not change, it's old-fashioned. In this particular situation, the fact is that Jesus doesn't change because He is the epitome of what is good and what is right. And there's no, He's never going to be greater than He is right now. He's never going to be less great. He is just the epitome of this. And the fact that He's unchanging, when everything else is changing, when everything else is negotiable, He's the one that we can lean on. And that's what is one of the verses we're going to keep coming back to through these particular weeks and studying Anchored in Jesus. I think the last couple things I want to touch on says, when stuff hits, we have the choice to hold fast to the hope that is before us. When everything we've trusted fails us, we have the hope to hold fast to Jesus Christ. I think it's one of the most important things that we can do, not to be preaching at people, but to be looking for the one in whom we have life and hope and health. Jesus is an anchor for our souls. He is sure, He's steadfast, and He's never going to leave us or forsake us. The different areas we're going to be looking at in this series are with worship and the Word, with relationships, that's family and friendships, and also with our church community, what God wants to do in and through our church family here inside these walls, but also reaching out into our city. So the reason that we exist is to help people find, understand, and follow God's plan for their lives. And that means that there's things I'm going to be doing and things I'm going to be discovering and you're going to be doing and you're going to be discovering that will maybe affect what's going on in here, but I really hope it affects your workplace and your schools and the places where you are living for Him, because there are a lot of people in life who do not have this hope. They do not have the anchor, and they're grasping at any quick solution to try and get them through the day. And when everything else is shaken, the job of the Christ follower is to be open to share what Jesus would be sharing if He was there in our midst, because He is. Does that make sense? And so as we dive into this, I think I'm asking, what are we going to do with this? How are we going to process through this? I think number one, it starts with repentance. Repentance doesn't just mean you've done something bad and you need to make it right with God. Repentance is a word that means I need to change my way of thinking and I need to align it with God's. It's turning away from my own way and turning to His way. And so in starting this new year, I'm not huge on resolutions, but I am big on course corrections. And repentance is taking a course correction. To be able to ask God, you know, God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I pray You would reveal to me, reveal to us areas where our course has deviated. Reveal to us where areas where we have drifted and not even are aware of it. Reveal to us areas where our thought processes and our actions aren't congruent with what You would have for us. And you know what He's going to do? He will reveal those things. And we have the opportunity then to turn and to begin heading in this new direction. I think there's also the taking stock of our lives. And I don't know if it's being at the season of life that I'm in, but I'm looking at my two sons with their wives and their kids. I'm looking and thinking, I remember when we had kids that were 1 year old. I remember when we had kids that were 4 years old. And it was awesome. And then I say something silly to my wife, like, can we have another one? And she says, no, don't even ask that again. Not that we don't like kids, but it's just looking at and thinking, looking back, man, I wish there were some things I could have done different. Anybody ever get caught in the wheel of regret looking backwards, wishing, oh, at this point, I wish I would have done this. I wish I would have done that. Let me just tell you, jump off the wheel. It goes nowhere good. as Matt talked about today, Jesus makes all things new. And as we reflect on our lives, we take stock of what's going on, we can look backwards and bemoan the things that have happened, the terrible things, the mistakes we've made or the things that have been done to us. It doesn't end up anywhere happy. What we can do is say, God, take a look at what's going on here. You say you make all things new. You say you came to destroy the works of the devil. You say you came to give me life in all of its fullness. I ask you to help me to walk in a way that's congruent with you so that I can be firmly anchored in you and so that I'm not just caught looking backwards. I can look forwards to the blessing that he wants to give, the areas where he wants to bless others through us, where he wants to multiply us. Right on? Right on, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you in Jesus' name that we have a hope in you. And I would ask as we look at this, the first Sunday of 2016, that we would take stock of our lives, we would repent and turn where we need to repent and turn, and that we would proactively be looking to see where you're wanting to bless us and who you're wanting to bless through us and how you're wanting to multiply us. May we be people of your word. May we be people of community who love each other and who love other people. I thank you for your hope. With nobody looking around, I want to give you an opportunity. I've been talking today about being anchored in Jesus. You know, you're here, and you maybe have never started a relationship with him. If you would like to, he says anybody who puts their trust in him, anybody who would say that he is the Son of God and that God raised him from the dead can be saved. There's active repentance, is turning away from my own way and turning to follow him. And if that's you today, you want to start with Jesus, I just would invite you to lift up your hand as a sign of saying, I want to begin following Jesus. Right on. I agree with you. Anybody else? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. You can look up. And so right after we're done, there's going to be some people who are available on this side over here for prayer. If you wanted to start a relationship with Jesus today, that'd be a great opportunity to come up and say, hey, I want to start with Jesus. What do I do? And also, if there's sickness or anything else you'd like to have someone pray for you for, it'll be happening right over here. We also will be having pancakes and eggs and sausage and bacon and all sorts of yummy goodness, and that'll be happening in this particular area as well. And so, God, thank you for pancakes. Thank you for the hands that prepared them, for all that you're doing. Be glorified. May 2016 be the best year yet for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
This has been a podcast presentation of Hillside Foursquare Church in Reno, Nevada. You can reach us at web@hillside4.org.